Well, starting this evening, we're going to begin our 2017 VBS with the children and also for the adults. And our focus is going to be on friendship. Dwayne's already mentioned that. And, of course, a lot of our service so far has focused just on that. And I'm going to do the same thing. I entitled my lesson, Biblical Lessons on Friends. And there's a lot of things in the book of Proverbs that talks about how to be a friend and kind of friends that we need to avoid. So that's what we're going to look at. I would think that probably every one of us would agree that we all need friends. Besides our relationship to God, what other relationship do we have more important than friendship? I don't know that I can think of anything. Jesus said that the two most important commandments are to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. Find that in Matthew 22:36-39. In Ecclesiastes 4:9-12, this is what Solomon said about two. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for the work. If one falls down, his friends can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? The one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. I don't know what the percentage would be, but I would say a great many of us have experienced the love of God because we had a friend that loved us. People usually don't care if they have a friend in Jesus until they have a friend in us. I know you've heard statements similar to that, but we need to think about that. How important is it to be a friend to others? Proverbs clearly tells us what makes a good friend and how to develop and maintain meaningful friendships. So I'm going to look at eight biblical principles of friendship found in the book of Proverbs. That's not to say that's the only ones, but we'll take time to look at eight this morning. So before I get started, I would like for you to share at least one essential quality necessary to be a friend. Anybody. We'll just take them one at a time. A necessary, essential quality to be a friend. Trust. Okay. What? Ben? Oh, okay. Kindness. Okay. Did you say something?
Well, if you want a friend, you have to be friendly.
Okay. You have to be friendly. Okay. Commonality, okay. Love. That's all right. Another one?
Caring,
okay. There's several that we could write down. And as I was looking at this list of things that you might say, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 popped in my mind. And Travis asked me if there's something I wanted read, and I said, yeah, let's have 1 Corinthians 13. Because when we think about being a friend, it's like rehearsing all the elements of love, isn't it? That's really what it amounts to. It's rehearsing the elements of love. Being faithful, keeping confidential, kindness, generous, forgiving, truthful, encouraging, and unselfish. We could probably add more and more to that list. So the first on my list is I'm going to talk about is good friends are faithful. Dwayne already mentioned this verse, Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times. And I think that verse maybe was even written in our bulletin. Now, the remainder of that verse says, a good friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I've read that verse before, and I kind of thought it was like two opposites. But actually, as I've studied it, it's really a parallelism of two things that are alike, I think. Of course, that being a friend and a brother. As opposed to some would think that maybe brothers who don't get along being the opposite of a friend, such as Joseph's brothers. Okay, so there's a couple ways of looking at that. But Proverbs 27:10 says, do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father, and do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. Now, for us at this congregation, we realize that Ben has three brothers. And Ben, I'm wondering, if you ever really found yourself in dire straits, do you suppose that your three brothers would help you at just about any cost, don't you? I would think that they would. But there's a little problem there, because Ben only has one brother that's close by. And so that's kind of the point that I think that the proverb is making, that better is a friend close by than a brother far away. One of the great friendship stories of the Bible concerns David and the faithfulness of Jonathan. Jonathan was faithful toward him, and David was faithful toward Jonathan. And we can read that in 1 Samuel, the 20th chapter, and 2 Samuel 9. We're not going to talk about that much, because I know that's going to get covered at the VBS. But what do you think is the greatest friendship story of all times? Well, need I ask? Dwayne already mentioned that, didn't he? The greatest friendship of all times is a story about Jesus and how he was a friend to those that obey him. John 15, 13 and 15, greater love hath no one than this, that they lay down one's life for his friend. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. Friends kind of have the inside scoop, don't they? We kind of tell each other everything. Being a good friend nearly lost Jonathan's life, if you remember, at the hands of his father. Well, we know for a fact that Jesus laid down his life to save his friends. If your friend asked you to do something unrighteous, though, should you be faithful to him and go ahead and do what he wants you to do? Would it be considered unfaithful to them if you refuse to do it? Now, there's a problem, isn't there? Things like that happen quite often in life. But I want you to know, it's not being unfaithful if you refuse to do it. We have a Bible example that's very clear about this. Deuteronomy 13, 6 through 9, it says, if your brother, the son of your mother, your son of your daughter, the wife of your bosom, or your friend who is as your own soul, if they were to ask you, and I'm going to paraphrase part of this, if they were to ask you to worship an idol, it tells you, you shall not consent to that. You shall not even listen to that. You shall not. I should not pity this person, and that you should be willing to put that person to death. You shall surely, verse 9, but you shall surely kill him, and your hand shall be the first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. So when we talk about being faithful to our friends, it's not talking about being faithful when they ask you to do something that's not right. And hopefully you will never ask them to do something that they shouldn't do. All right, let's go to number two. Good friends keep confidential. Good friends keep confidential. Proverbs 11 and 13 says a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Proverbs 16:28 says a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. You know, when you have a close friend, you will know details and secrets about someone's life that would not be appropriate to share necessarily with others. Telling detrimental things about another person to someone else who is not part of the problem or the solution is never good. I'm ashamed to say that I have done that. And I suspect that many of us have participated in that same sort of thing, knowingly or unknowingly. Maybe we didn't do it because we were trying to hurt someone, but we just did it, but we shouldn't have. May God forgive us and help us to overcome such temptations. But gossip is clearly condemned in the Bible. And a gossip doesn't make a good friend. Number three, good friends are kind. Proverbs 11 and 17, a kind man benefits himself, but a cruel man brings trouble on himself. Proverbs 26, 18 through 19 says, like a madman shooting firebrands or deadly arrows is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, oh, I was only joking. Well, if you have a good friend, I've had a good close friend in two or three different ways. You joke each other all the time. I'm sure you do. I don't think the Bible condemns joking one another. But if you carry out a prank or a ribbing too far, we just might lose a friend, mightn't we? We need to be careful. I'm going to tell you a story. It's not a good story, but it's a story about something I did that I should have never done. When my brother Bill was getting married, he asked me to be his best man. So I think Bill got married when he was 19. So you know how old I was. Well, not long before the wedding, and I'm talking about maybe a day or two, I can't remember exactly, but it was very close to the wedding time, I called up Bill and I said, you're never going to guess what happened. I broke my leg, and I'm not going to be able to stand up for you at the wedding. He's like, you broke your leg, and he was getting all excited, and I'm like, man, I'm really getting him good, you know. I go ahead and I hang up the phone. And I tell Tony, I said, you ain't going to believe what. I told Bill I broke my leg, and he believed me. Man, did I really get him good. And she was like, that's the most stupidest thing I've ever heard. Get on the phone and call him right now and tell him that you were joking him. You know, and I was thinking about maybe letting it go for maybe an hour or so. You know, I get on the phone. Guess who got in the panic then? And me, because it was busy. Bill was already calling people to try to make different arrangements. That's what you call carrying a joke out too far. Luckily I didn't lose a good friend. I don't think the Bible condemns us joking, but we got to be very careful we don't go too far. Number four, good friends are generous with their time, their talents, and their money. There are several verses that I could read on this. Proverbs 3, 27 and 28. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when you now have it with you. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Then I got a couple verses in Psalms that I want to look at. Psalms 37, 25 through 26. I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely, and their children will be blessed. Psalms 112, 4 through 6. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and the righteous man. Goodwill come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. This is an area that just I really feel like I need to improve on. And yet I know, and I know you know, that we're all attracted to those who are generous, aren't we? Aren't we attracted to generous people? What should we do if someone comes to us and wants us to co-sign for a loan, though? What would you do? A good friend puts you on the spot and says, man, I don't have the money and I need this. And would you co-sign on this loan, saying that co-sign is like saying, well, if they can't pay for it, I'll pay for it. And you say, well, that's being very generous. But we do have warnings in the Bible against that. Generosity is a very good thing, but co-signing for a loan many times leads to bitterness and resentment. Proverbs 17:18 says, a man lacking in judgment strikes hands in a pledge and puts up security for his neighbor. So when you co-sign, you accept the responsibility for the debt. And when you co-sign, you're enabling your friend to buy something they cannot afford. The Bible calls that putting up security or being surety. Now, if you do that, have you thought through the process? What if something tragic would happen to the person that's borrowing the money? They lose their job. They become disabled in an accident and they can't work. Or what if they die? Will you be okay to pay off their debt, or will you become bitter? You need to be careful how you deal with these matters. Proverbs 11:15 says, he who puts up security for another will surely suffer, but whoever refuses to strike hands in a pledge is safe. So how do we mix that sort of thing with being generous? How do we put that together? Well, the scripture indicates to us that if we have the money to help someone out, and I know that many of you have known Christians who have fallen on hard times by no fault of their own, and some fellow Christian financially stepped up and says, here's the money, and if you can't pay me back, don't worry about it. I know that you've probably known of situations like that. I certainly do. And that's the way that God wants us to do it. If you've got the means to help someone, you let them have it, and if they can't pay you back, oh well. But I'm sure if they're a Christian, they'll do everything they can to pay you back. And if they don't, you know what? You've put a deposit with God for yourself. Let's go to number 5. Good friends are unselfish. I'm going to tell another story on myself. I'm probably not different than some other people, but one of the things I've always struggled with is selfishness. My early years in college, before I met Tony, I'm going to say I was probably a freshman or a sophomore in college, I had a good sister, Carolyn, and Carolyn's about 12 years older than I was. Her and her family invited me to go camping on the Jack's Fork River with their family. They had my nephew and two nieces. They were fairly young. And I know they were looking forward to me going along, and I could play with them and interact with them, and we'd have a good time. And I certainly was looking forward to it. And I told them I would do that. Well, in the meantime, my favorite cousin Dave invites me to go down with him with his parents to Emnon's and said, "Hey, we'll go floating on the Jack's Fork." I was like, "Oh, I'd love to do that. I really would rather do that than go and kind of entertain these my three young niece and nephew." And so I was talking to Dave, and I was telling Dave about my dilemma. Like, man, I've already told Carolyn I was going to go with her, but man, I'd sure love to go with you. And you know what? I know Carolyn's kids; they'll just want to play ball the whole time. I'd much rather go floating the river. Well, my little 8-year-old sister was in the background, and she heard our conversation. And guess what she did? She goes to my nephew and nieces and tells them, "Well, Bob, he'd rather go floating. He doesn't want to play ball with you guys." That all come about because I was being selfish. I had already made plans with my sister. I should have stuck with them. Shouldn't have even entertained. I mean, when Dave asked me to go floating, I should have just said, "You know, I've already committed myself." But no, my selfish way got in the way. My sister had bought extra food and provisions, had to do special planning and packing to get stuff in that would help accommodate me. And then, of course, when she heard about all this, she says, "Well, why don't you just go ahead and go floating?" And I could tell there was hurt feelings. And I never, ever got invited to go camping with them ever again. And I can see why. I deserved that. Because of my selfishness of a friend, feelings got hurt. And my integrity was completely soiled because of that. All because of selfishness. So when you think about friendship, friendships don't last very long if selfishness is in the mix. You can't be selfish and be a friend. Proverbs 18:1 through 4 says, "A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. When the wicked comes, contempt comes in. Also, and with dishonor comes reproach. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook." I'm running out of time, so let's hurry on. Number 6, good friends are willing to forgive. In our fallen human nature, we have a saying that says, "Don't get mad, get even." That's what the world says. If you ever want to be a good friend, revenge is not the way to go. 2 Samuel 13 chapter reads a story about Absalom and his half-brother Amnon, who abused Absalom's sister named Tamar. Absalom played it cool. He hated his half-brother Amnon, but he acted like, one way or the other, I'm not going to say anything. That's because he was lying in wait to get revenge. Lying in wait. He had a plan all along to get even with his brother. And as the story goes, he had other men, other accomplices that killed Amnon. Because of pent-up anger and unwillingness to forgive, a situation arose that changed the whole dynamics of their family. We don't have time to talk about it, but all the things that happened after this took place is just makes for a terrible, terrible story. Proverbs 24 and 29 says, "Do not say, 'I will do to him just as he has done to me.' I will render to the man according to his work." Don't do that. And we know the only human that never made it a sinful mistake is Jesus. And this is what Jesus said. This is Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you're going to be a friend, you got to be willing to be forgiving. Wouldn't we want all of our friends to forgive us of all our foolish mistakes? We would, wouldn't we? But of course, if the mistakes that we make are never foolish in our own eyes, we may have a problem making friends. So we need to think very seriously about the words of Jesus. If we want friends, we need to be forgiving. Number 7, a good friend will bring out the best in you. Our memory verse for the VBS is going to be Proverbs 12 and 26. It says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the ways of the wicked leads them astray. A good friend would never entice you to do wrong and lead somebody in the wrong direction, would they? And hopefully you would never do the same thing in return. As I refer to the story about Absalom and Amnon, there's another part of that story that's kind of bad. Absalom had a cousin, and his cousin's name was Jonadab. And he realized that Absalom, there was something bothering Absalom, and the scripture says that he was in love with Tamar. I think he was enraptured with her beauty and whatever else. And Jonadab, he gives him some crafty advice, the scripture says. Crafty advice. And I'm not even going to talk about that crafty advice, but it was terrible advice. And if you think about it, if it wasn't for Jonadab's crafty advice, here his good friend gives him this crafty advice, and you know what it led to? It led to rape and murder. If that crafty advice had never been given, perhaps we wouldn't have been reading about that story. How many young, naive people have been led astray because so-called friends talked them into doing something very foolish? No doubt we'll be talking about that in our VBS. Proverbs 22, 24 through 25 says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Proverbs 16, 28 and 29, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisper separates the best of friends. A violent man entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. And of course, 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. So I know we're going to be emphasizing that the friends that you have, you need to select very carefully. The last point I'm going to make is a good friend will not hesitate to tell you the truth when the truth is necessary for your own good. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. When your friend is headed for trouble, it is always appropriate to tell them the truth, even if it means you're going to lose your friendship. How many times do we have people that say, "Oh, I didn't say anything because I didn't want to mess up our friendship." Well, are you really a true friend? Standing by and saying nothing is being cowardly and selfish. You selfishly want to hang on to that friendship. But you're being cowardly if you don't tell them the truth. True friends will put the needs of a friend before their own needs to keep a friendship alive. I suppose the modern day term that we would use is tough love. Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." 27:9 says, "Ointment and perfume delights the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel." If you have a true friend and you want to be a true friend, you want to tell your friend the things that will be needful and helpful for them. Not withdrawing yourself and saying nothing. I'm out of time. We all know that friendship is very, very important. But there's one friend that we cannot afford to lose. And you know who I'm talking about. If he is not your friend, Jesus, if Jesus is not your friend, you will regret that someday. As Dwayne read to us, and I'm going to repeat it, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you." Isn't that wonderful that we have a friend that told us everything that we need to know to save ourselves? Think how awful it is to be lonely and not have anybody. Not have any friends. You're totally lonely and you have no one. The description of hell is blackness and darkness forever. You're not going to have the blessings of God. You think about all the blessings that we have in life from God. And when it comes to eternity, if you haven't named Jesus as your friend, you're not going to have anyone. You are going to be totally lonely. It's going to be like you're going to be in a cave. Have you ever been in a cave and you've seen how black it is in a cave? Think about being in a cave all by yourself forever and ever. That's what hell is going to be like. John 15:13, "Greater love hath no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." That's exactly what Jesus did for us. So my question to you is, will you obey his commands today while you still have the opportunity? We're going to sing a song of invitation, and if we can help you in that way, please come forward and let it be known.